Today's theme celebrates that Jesus rose victorious from the grave. Alleluia. The Easter reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yes, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Joy and peace be to you from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, let's say it again. It's Easter, right? Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Well, praise be to God that we are here today, reminded of a story of a man and his five-year-old son who were driving down the road. And as they went past a cemetery, they noticed a large pile of dirt next to a freshly dug grave. When the little boy saw it, he said, "Look, Dad, one got out." Well, yes, Jesus got out, right? That's why we're here. Praise be to God. What an awesome day it is to celebrate the very one whom the grave could not hold, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In our journey this year through the season of Lent, we have been focusing on the cross, with the theme, Lift High the Cross. And so, each Sunday and each Wednesday, we focused on different cross words. Words such as crossroads and cross-cultural, double-crosser and cross-bearer, just to name a few. Today, that series comes to a crescendo as we focus on the word cross-stitch. Probably now just scratching your head, you're thinking, "Pastor David, what in the world does cross stitch have to do with Easter?" Quite a bit, actually, let me tell you. Over the years, I have cross stitched a number of pieces. Yes, guys, it's okay for you to cross stitch, all right? It's been a while since I've done any. Well, no, take that back. I did cross stitch my youngest granddaughter's name for their Christmas stocking this last year in December, so I have that up for her, so that she could celebrate her first Christmas. Well, I started cross-stitching probably back in seminary or shortly after. I mean, you know, I am pretty crafty. And I come by that quite honestly because my mom, and she's here this morning, she's also quite a crafty person as well. I mean, we love to do crafts. Don't take that another way, right? We love to do crafts. Well, I particularly like the counted cross-stitch because it's a bit more challenging and also a bit more rewarding. You start out with a blank slate, if you will, a clean piece of cloth, a blank cloth, and you have a pattern or a picture to go from, usually with a color chart for the threads that you will make into this beautiful piece. And cross-stitch, of course, is a series of crosses or X's that form a pattern, and when it's completed, it makes this beautiful picture. One of the hardest pieces and parts is starting and finding a way to secure the thread on the back of those pieces of cloth so that it doesn't pull out somewhere along the line while you're working on it and ruin your whole work and you have to go back and start all over. Well, some people like to tie a big old knot on the back of the fabric to hold those stitches in place. Others like to leave a little thread hanging and kind of stitch over it as they go along. Others leave long strands between different sections on the work as they progress in that work. So the backside, or the underside of the cross stitch, well, it's not pretty, okay? It can, yeah, be a rat's nest, or a jumble of thread. It'd be quite ugly, to say the least. Yeah, doesn't look like much there, does it, right? But the end result, once you turn that underneath over to the other side, is a beautiful piece of work of art on that other side of the fabric. Reminded of a true event that happened back in February of 1991. Some of you recall that was when Desert Storm was taking place. Yeah, that sounds like a long time ago, but a mother by the name of Ruth received one of those phone calls that no mother ever wants to receive. Her son Clayton, private first class, had stepped on a landmine and was dead. For the next 3 days, she grieved an unconsolable grief that only a mother or a father of a soldier who has lost their life would know. Nobody could comfort her. But on the third day, after receiving that horrible, terrible news, the phone rang. And on the other end of the phone, there was a voice that said, "Mom, it's me. I'm alive." Well, at first she thought it was a cruel, horrible joke. But as the conversation continued, she realized it was her son. Later she said she laughed and she cried and she rejoiced because what seemed to be a hopeless situation turned out to be the greatest day of her life. The ugly news of death had turned and been replaced by the joy of life. In our gospel today from Matthew chapter 28, when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to that tomb that first Easter morning, what were they going there to do? We know that Jesus had suffered brutally at the hands of his accusers. Jesus had died a cruel death on a cross. His body was laid in a tomb sealed with a huge stone. They were going out early that morning to pay their respects, to mourn their beloved friend and master. You see, the ugliness of our sin and shame had scarred Jesus. His body was broken for our sake. His blood was shed to forgive us of our sin. Easter is probably one of the most celebrated events of the year, especially for us as people of faith. We rejoice in Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil. But if you and I were to plan the whole thing, I think we probably would have done it differently. I don't know about you, but I would have had Jesus come in a whole lot earlier with a whole army of angels to conquer the age-old foe. And then I would have gathered everybody that we would rally behind him as he marches through the streets of the world with a pomp and circumstance, with his might, his power, his glory, everybody following behind him. But as we read the story, that's not how it happened, is it? You see, Jesus' greatest victory doesn't come in strength. It comes at his weakest moment. And that ugly bird's nest of suffering and death, woven wildly and hate with hateful deliberate stitches, sewn by religious leaders and Roman soldiers and a mob shouting, "Crucify him," earlier in the week, evil thought it had won. The devil thought he had sidetracked God's plan for us. So when the women of the tomb, or when the women came to see the tomb, what did they see? As they were on their way, an earthquake shook the very ground they were walking on. When they got there, they saw that an angel of the Lord had rolled the stone away. And as Matthew tells us, the angel sat on it. I love that picture. The angel sitting on the stone rolled away, the tomb empty and open. His appearance, it tells us, was dazzling, like lightning, his clothing like fresh fallen snow, bright and glorious. The women came expecting to be saddened by the ugliness of sin and death. But Jesus had turned that ugliness of sin and death upside down. and showed us the final beautiful work of art that only God himself could produce, that resurrection from death to new life. An unknown author penned this little poem that goes like this. The tomb could hold him no longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ rose that resurrection day. Can you imagine then the scene there as they encounter the angel, and the angel tells them that Jesus had risen as he had said, and the women were heading back then to tell the disciples what had taken place, and they were filled with mixed emotions, both fear and great joy. And as they were going along, guess what happened? Jesus met them. Can you imagine that reunion? They'd gone to mourn their Lord and their Master and their Savior as they're coming back to tell the news that the tomb is empty. They see the angel who appears on the road, but Jesus himself. Oh my goodness, what an amazing encounter that must have been. He who was dead had now risen back to life. What was their reaction? They fell down at his feet. They worshiped him. What else would you do to the glorious resurrected Jesus Christ, your Lord? Oh my goodness. As people of faith, that's all we need, is it not? That reassurance, that hope. And yes, we too will face the ugliness of sin and death. But because Jesus defeated death and turned it upside down, we have nothing whatsoever to fear. He will do the same for us, just as he promised. I love how St. Paul says it about this victory in 1 Corinthians 15, the end of that chapter, when Paul says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But here it is. Here's the phrase. Here's the wording. Here's the good news. Thanks be to God. He gives us a victory through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.